Today's share is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Ayin Dalet. We will begin on Daf Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Azor Rabbi Rav Marakit. The Mishnah spoke about different melachos: winnowing, Bayer is selecting, Hatoichen is grinding, and Marakit. Ask the Gemara, Hainu Zoyra, Hainu Bayer, Hainu Marakit. When we think about these three melachos of Zoyra, Bayer, and Marakit, ask the Gemara, they're really all the same. The point of all of these melachos is separating the edible food from the inedible part. So the Gemara's question is, why does the Tana mention them as separate melachos? Answers the Gemara. Abaye v'rav adamir tovayu, kol milsa dehava v'mishkan, anything that was in the Mishkan, afal gav dikad damile, even though there are other melachos that are very similar, still, choshevlo are considered separate melacha. So, of course, as the Rishonim explained the Mishnah, not everything that was in the Mishnah, the Mishkan will see in today's Shir Mitzvashem, are considered individual melachas. But there is some difference between Zoyra, Boira, and Marakit. Zoyra is we separate the straw. Boirer is to take out the pebbles and the foreign substances. Merakid is by flour. So even though they're all for the same purpose, as we said before, to separate the edible from the inedible, but the actual act is not identical. And because the actual act is not identical, that's enough of a reason that it shouldn't be mentioned. And they were all done, obviously, in the Mishkan. That's enough that they should be considered separate melachas. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that anything that happened in the Mishkan is considered an individual melacha. So ask the Gemara, the lech shivnami kaitish, so why is impounding also considered a melacha? But the herbs that were used in the Mishkan and the preparation of the dyes were also first pounded. And this is what's done by wheat, that you want to remove the bran, so you pound it, and that's how the bran goes off the wheat. So why isn't that mentioned in the Mishnah? Answers the Gemara, Amr Abaya, she can only oichel pita b'loi ketisha. We're listing all of the melachos that were done in the preparation of bread, and not everybody who bakes bread makes ketisha. Poor people eat bread without the bran removed. Of course, the Rishonim ask a question. Even though our Mishnah, when it speaks about the melacha, and we're going to speak about this in the Shir today, Mitzvah Shem, frames it in the form of bread, it's not necessarily bread that we're talking about. It's really the herbs that were made into some amonim for the Mishkan, for dyes, etc. Now, when you make samamonim, ask the Rishonim, Rashi already points this out, the halacha is that everybody does ketisha. So, yes, the Gemara said that ketisha is not always done by baking bread, but it was done for making samamonim, which was done in the Mishnah. So Rashi says that indeed ketisha is considered a av malacha. It's maybe not mentioned in the Mishnah because it wasn't done by everybody when they baked bread, but because ketisha was always done when they made samamonim, that's enough for it to be mentioned in the Mishnah. What's the difficulty with Rashi's pshat? The Rishonim ask on Rashi, if that's the way you, Rashi, are learning, so then there's 40 melachos. So we keep on saying that there are 39 melachos. There's not 39 melachos, there are 40. There's ketisha. It just happens not to be mentioned in the Mishnah because it's not done when they bake bread necessarily. So Taisus says, different pshat, that since by bread it's not a melacha, it's never considered a melacha even though it's done in the Mishkan. Rav Ava, Hamanihi, who's this opinion? Dama Avas Melachos Chasa Achas. That they had, as we discussed in our previous year, they always knew that there are 39 melachos. As we said, because the Torah uses the word melacha 39 times in the Torah. That's one explanation. The other explanation that we suggested in yesterday's shiur, not we suggested, the Gemara suggested previously, is because the Torah uses the words Eila HaDvarim. Eila is 36, Dvarim is 2, He is 1 more, is 39. So they had a Kabbalah that there are 39 Malachas. Hamani, Rebbe he. Rebbe knew that there are only 39 Malachas. Dama Ovis Malachas Abayim Chasa Achas. Now, Ichash of Kaitish, if we're going to include Kaitish in the group, Havalei Arbaim, we'll only have 40 Malachas, we'll have 40 Malachas, and that won't work. Ask the Gemara, that doesn't make sense. If Kaitish really belongs in the group, and we're removing something from the group just to get to the number 39, so ask the Gemara, V'leipa Chadim Ahanach, let's remove one of the other types of Malachas, V'layel Kaitish, and put in Kaitish. It isn't good enough reason just to try to take Kaitish out for that reason. Says the Gemara, we have to go back, El Mechvarta Kerabai, we have to go back to Abayi's Teretz, why Kaitish wasn't mentioned, because Aniyim don't do Kaitish. Says the Gemara. The Gemara now will begin discussing the Halachas Abayra. So says the Gemara, Tanur Abaran, Hoy Lefonov Minei Oichlam. If you had in front of you different types of food, Pfeir V'Oichel, you could do Bayrur and eat immediately. Bayrur Meniach, you could do Bayrur to put away for later. V'lo Yivur, but don't do Bayrur, says the Braisa. V'n Baruch Yiv Chattis. So Rashi and Tosfos have a machloikus. What is the proper girsa of this braisa? Rashi says the braisa says ha'yu l'fon of shnei minei oichlam. So the Gemara, Rashi says that as we're going to learn in our Gemara now, the definition of bayrur is oichel mitoich psoilus. You have food and you have the psoilus. You have the waste. And the question of brayra is how do you separate the food from the waste, as we will learn extensively. But when you have two foods, that isn't considered Breira. And therefore, Rashi changes the girsa of the Gemara not to have Shnei Minei Oichlam. Tosfos disagrees. And they say that even when you have two types of food, you could have Breira. Why? Because if you have two types of food and you're interested in eating one and not eating the other, so says Tosfos, the food that you want is the oichel. The food that you don't want is the psoilus. So even though they're both foods, there's a brera between the food you want and the food you don't want. And in fact, the Pnei Yeshua and the Rish Yosef also say, they say that even Rashi will agree with what we just said, that if you have two foods, but you want to eat one and not the other, that would be considered brera. Rashi just doesn't want to say that that's the girsa of the braisa, but Rashi doesn't want to agree that that's not considered brera. Although the Ravid does say, the Meiri brings the opinion of the Ravid, that the Ravid says that when you have two types of items that are both edible, even though only one of them is what you want to eat currently, and the other one is not what you want to eat currently, that doesn't make it, since they're both edible, it's not brera. So once we mention this Ravid, so according to the Ravid, we're going to discuss, Mitzvah Hashem, Be'ezer Hashem, different situations in which would be brera or not. And the question that comes up, we'll see if you want to take a safer out of your bookcase. So is that considered brera? If you want to take out an article of clothing from your closet, is that considered brera? So the Marshag says that that's never considered brera, because the Marshag teaches us that wherever there isn't a real mix of the two items that we're discussing, you can't have brera. But according to the Ravid, it's much more fundamental. If the two items that you want to separate from each other are both usable, or in the case of food, both edible, then the halacha is that there's never brera, according to the Ravid. So the question in those cases would never even begin. But of course, as we learn this braisa, ask the Gemara immediately, My kummer, the Braisa is sort of difficult to understand. First, the Braisa says that you're not allowed to do Breira, and immediately afterwards, the Braisa says you're allowed to do Breira. Amu Ula, Hachi kummer. This is the way to understand the Braisa. Breira v'achal abay b'yoy. Breira may be done to be eaten that day. Breira menechai, or you could even put away to have as long as you're going to eat it that day. Ula machar layiver. But to do Breira, to be able to eat the food tomorrow, that may not be done. Vim birer, and if somebody did Breira under that circumstances, then chayef chatas. So according to Ula, this malacha is very different than all other malachas. All other malachas, we obviously don't find a nafkamina if you're doing it for today or you're doing it for tomorrow. Here, we're finding a nafkamina if it's being done for Shabbos or it's being done for after Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, Maskevlei Rav Chisda. Maskevlei Rav Chisda, ask Rav Chisda, how can we understand such a pshat? When we speak about cooking and baking, so is baking permitted if I'm baking for Shabbos? I'm allowed to cook for today? If it's Osir, it's Osir. So the same thing should be here. If it's Osir, it's Osir. So the way the Rishonim try to understand, we have to understand what Ula said. And we're going to have Rav Chisda, we have to understand what Rav Chisda says. When we speak about Breira, and this becomes a very important part of today's shir, that anything that's done as a way of eating is not considered Breira. So say the Rishonim, that according to Ula, as long as it's being done for that day, that's enough to make it into not being considered Breira. So, to which Rav Chisda says, you don't find such a heter. Elam Rav Chisda, says Rav Chisda, Breira v'aychel pachas mikashir, when the Braisa says that you could do Breira, it's when you did less than a groigris. We're going to learn, as we mentioned in our previous shir, every malach on Shabbos has a shear. The shear that's considered Breira is the shear of a groigris. So somebody did Breira on less than a groigris. Breira menich, if you're doing pachs mikashir, or kashir, but if you do Breira on a groigris, then halach is layiver, you may not do so. Vembir, and if you did so, you chayef chatas. So from this Gemara, there's a very fundamental discussion. There's a famous Chacham Tzvi. The Chacham Tzvi says that the din of Chatzis Shir that we know is awesome in our Torah is only by midah d'achila, something that you eat. Because I meant to eat only half a kazayas, but I may end up eating a kazayas. Other things are not subject to the halacha of Chatzis Shir. But it says, the Gemara says, asks, Maskula Rav Yosef, v'chi motalefes pachas mekishir, are you allowed to bake less than a shear? So what do we see from this Gemara's question? That the Chacham Tzvi's position, that Chatzis Shear is only applicable by Esira Echila, is not true. Because here we're talking about baking and Breira, and the Gemara is still saying that there is an Isser Chatzis Shear. So the way the Yad David and other Achroinim explain this Gemara, so this first glance is a raya that Chatzis Shir is possible by every area of halacha, by every area of Aveira. How do we understand the Chacham Tzvi? We're going to have to say, says the Yad David, that the Chacham Tzvi agrees that even if it's not a food, there's an Isser Chatzis Shir with the Rabbanon. And the Gemara's question, says the Yad David, according to Chacham Tzvi, is that Midrabanan Chatzis Shir is Osir. So how could the Gemara suggest that it should be mutter by Breira if you're doing less than Chatzis Shir? And again, we're going to repeat the vart that we said earlier. We need to understand Rav Chisda's Havamina. Well, how could he say that Chatzis Shir is mutter if we know B'chol HaTorah Kula Chatzis Shir is Osir? So we're going to have to say that as we're going to be learning our Gemara, when we speak about Breira, when it's being done, L'tzoyrech Achila, it's not considered Breira. And Rav Chisda is going to learn that when you did a Chatzis Shir, that's considered Derech Achila, which the Gemara asks, Why? If you're not in the middle of eating, then it doesn't make a difference if it's a shear or less than a shear. That has nothing to do with derech achila. And therefore, says the Gemara, a new interpretation. Elam Rabbi Yosef, the way to understand the Braisa is bar v'oichel b'yad. You could do breira with your hand, bar maniach, or you could even do breira to put it away if you only did the breira with your hand. If you did it b'konon, konon is a type of a keli that is used to do breira. It's like a funnel, or b'tamchui, it's a large plate, and you try to shake off what you're being boirer to keep what you want, separate what's good from bad. There, you're not allowed to do breiru, lo yiver, vim borer, bhater, aval osur. It's only osur med rabbonon. Or benaf of a kavra, if you use a naf of a kavra, which are a fine sieve, or a different type of sieve, which are meant to do the melacha breiru, there, yichayif chattas. So the way the Rishonim explain, why did the Gemara have to have three categories? When it's mutter, when it's osum d'rabbanan, and where it's osum d'raisa. So the Rishonim explained that Rabbi Yosef found it difficult to say that a braisa should speak in such extremes. Mutter, that breira sometimes is mutter chatchila, and sometimes breira is also even medaraisa. So in order to make the braisa more understandable, said Rabbi Yosef, that the braisa is speaking about three categories, mutter, derabonon, and deraisa. Says the but ask the Gemara, maskula Rav Hamnuna, midit konav tamchuk tani, the braisa didn't say anything about these kalim that we're putting into the braisa. Alam Rav Huna, baira oichel, what is the halacha breira? Baira v'oichel, normally, the way breira is done is you take out the psoilus and you are left with the oichel. On Shabbos, we're not allowed to do a maisa breira. So how do we do breira that it should be mutter? Do it in a way that's not normally done. You take the food out of the psoilus. That's not considered a breira. Breira maniach. You could do breira where you take the oichel b'toich psoilus. Psoilus metoich oichel ayiver, but you're never allowed to do psoilus out of the oichel. Vim birer, if you did do that, then instead of taking the oichel out of the psoilus, you did the psoilus out of the oichel, that's considered breira, and for which you chayiv, chattas. Maskel of Abaya asks Abaya on this interpretation, mide oichel psoilus kutari, did the braisa make this distinction? The braisa said that you're not allowed to do it. Why? Where do we start making this distinction? Oichel mitoich psoilus, psoilus mitoich oichel. Maskel Abaya, mida oichel mitoich psoilus ketani. Alam Rabaya, bar v'oichel alter. You're allowed to do breira in order to eat right away. Breira umaniach, even to put away, but you're going to eat it right away. That's not called breira, because the way breira was done is that they did breira with the purpose of putting it away for later. But if you're doing breira for today, the halacha is lo yiver, that may not be done. Then birer, and if you did it to do breira later on in the day, nasa kebirer loitzer, it's considered like you put it away, you're doing breira to be put away, and in such a situation, yechayiv chattas. Amru rabbanan kamei de rava. Rabbanan said to rava how Abaya explained hilchas breira. Amalei, and Rebbe said to them, Shapa on Nachmani. Nachmani's interpretation is absolutely correct, and that is the way, that's the heter. But we're going to continue learning it. But before we go further in learning Hilchos Breira, Degli Tal says we need to understand what is the Melacha Breira. What is the reason you chayiv a Melachos Breira? Because it should be that Melachos Breira is Melach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. As we always describe, a melach shein tzrich l'gufa means that you're only doing this in reaction to a situation. So that's exactly here. I have a situation where my food and my psoilus are mixed together. I need to separate them. So I'm only in reaction separating. Why is it not considered a melach shein tzrich l'gufa? So he says that one explanation he gives is that the malacha is not the separation. The malacha is that I'm making my food edible. As long as the psoilus is in there, it's not edible. I'm making my food edible, and therefore it's a malam malacha shen etzrich l'gufa. Or the Egel Tal wants to suggest a chiddush, that indeed, boyer is a malacha shen etzrich l'gufa, but this is an exception to the rule. And even Rav Shimon, who holds that a malacha shen etzrich l'gufa is potter, says the Egel Tal, and there's actually Baal Amor that says it later in Amasecht on Daf Kuf Vav, where he says explicitly that even though Boyer is a malacha as Shein Etzrich Legufa, this is an exception to the rule. The Egel Tal, however, does quote a Yerushalmi that clearly indicates that Boyer means to make the food edible. And what's going to be the nafkamina? The nafkamina is what we've been discussing over and over. We've been discussing that if the food would be edible, even if you didn't do breiru, will that be considered an act of breiru? So the nafkamina will be, if we say that it's the actual act that you're doing is considered a maisa breiru, so even though the food is edible, although anyway, doesn't mean that it's not breiru. Because the food is edible. And once the food is edible, the halacha is that it's considered an act of bayir. But if, on the other hand, we hold that it's only considered bayir because it's the tikkun oichel, like the Egel Tal is quoting the Yerushalmi, so when the food is edible anyway, because I could eat it no matter what, or the clothing, the example I gave earlier, if I have two articles of clothing or a number of articles of clothing together in my closet and I'm trying to separate them, and I can separate them anyway, no matter if they're 100% usable anyway. So by doing the breira, I'm not making this article of clothing, I'm not making the sefer that I'm taking out of the swarm's shank any more usable. So under those circumstances, it would not be considered breira. Continues the Gemara. If somebody has in front of him two types of food, you did breira to eat right away, or to eat later on, potter. The first shita says that you potter, Rav Ashi says you potter, Rav Yirmi Yamadefini Masni, that you chayiv. And the Gemara asks, Rav Ashi Basti potter, how could Rav Ashi say the Yapater? Vatani, didn't we begin today's shir that if you do breira, yichayif chatas? Answers the Gemara loikasha. Ha b'karim v'tamchui, when you used a sieve, which is what is meant to be used to do breira, so then, which is not meant to be used for breira, so it's only potter, aval also, you only also midrabbanan. Ha, when you did it with a Naf of a kavra, which are kalim that are meant to be used for breira, there yechayiv chatas. Says the Gemara, Kos Rav Dimi, Am Shabsad Rabibi Havoi, it was the Shabbos of Rabibi. The way they had it in the yeshiva was that every Shabbos, a different one of the individuals, one of the rabbonim there, would serve all the other people. So it was the Shabbos of Rabibi, Vikler of Ami Rav Asi, and Rav Ami Rav Asi was sitting there. Shadal Kamaika called the peri, and he had a basket full of fruit, all mixed together, and there were the leaves around the fruit and everything, and he didn't want to do brira. So what he did was he just poured out the entire basket on the table, and like that, they ate. V'lo yadana, and we're not exactly sure why he did this. Imishum d'sava oichem b'teich soilus osur, that the way brira would be done here would be taking out fruit from the other fruit or fruit from the leaves. So in order to do that, in order to avoid doing that, he didn't want to do breira, so he just put it on the table. Or did he do it mishum yein yofu d'mechavin? He just wanted them to see that there's Baruch Hashem plenty fruit available to them, and since there's plenty fruit available to them, they should feel comfortable that they have enough to eat. So we don't know exactly what was his kavanah. One thing we do, however, see from this Gemara, say the Paiskim, that if somebody just pours out something from a mixture, and it separates by itself by you pouring it out for the mixture, that certainly is not considered breira. Says the Gemara, Chizki Omer, Habayra Tumasin. Tumasin is a type of bean. If somebody takes the oichel b'toich the psoilus, you take out the beans from the psoilus, yichayif. Says the Gemara, Lema kasava chizkiya, oichel b'toich psoilus osur, that oichel from psoilus is osur, even if you're doing it to eat immediately. Says the Gemara, shani tumasin, beans are different. The shokalei shiva zimnin, they're cooked 7 times, and if you don't cook them, they spoil. And therefore, it's psoilus mitoich oichel. What does that mean? What you have here, the beans that are left in the mixture, that are going to still be cooked, are considered the oichel. The beans that you're not going to cook are considered the psoilus. So what happened is like this. The ones that were cooked are not going to be cooked more times, even though they're the inferior beans, they're the oichel, because they're edible right away. And the ones that are still good, and they're going to be cooked many times, are the psoilus. So if you take out the ones that still need to be cooked, and from the ones that are already not going to be cooked anymore, that's psoilus mitoich oichel. But if you take out the ones that are not going to be cooked anymore, so they're already edible. They may not be great quality, but they're edible. So they're considered the oichel, and the other ones are considered the psoilus. Before we go into the next Gemara, just for a couple of moments, we will discuss Hilchas Breira. The halacha is that if somebody takes out even oichel mitoich psoilus, if he used a nafa of a kavra, if he used the keli, even if he meant to eat it right away, he's chayiv chatas. If he did it b'karen b'tamchui, he's pata avalasar. So in other words, just to say, that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Shun Yates, but to explain it according to the way we learned in our Gemara, the conditions for Boirut to be mutter, you have to have 3 conditions. It has to be the oichel mitoich psoilus, the food taken out of the psoilus, because normally the way, as we've been learning, boira is done is psoilus mitoich oichel. So on Shabbos we should do oichel mitoich psoilus. The other requirement is that it should be done for immediate eating, and we'll discuss in a few moments what that means. And the 3rd condition is that you may not use a keli. Interesting, Shaila that the Mishnah Brewer discusses, that if somebody did breira b'shoigig on Shabbos, he forgot all the halachas, then the halacha is that you could eat the food anyway, even though normally if you did an aver b'shoigig Shabbos, you should wait for Matzah Shabbos. Here, the Mishnah Brewer takes a more lenient approach. Moreover, Rav Shlomo Zalman says that if an akum, you have an akum working in your house, and he did breira, and he did not do breira in the proper way, you're still allowed to eat that food. Why? Because the akum could have done breira in the proper way. It was more convenient for him to do breira this way, and because it was more convenient to do it for his own convenience that way, it's not considered maisa isser, and you're allowed to eat it. If you did it for immediate eating, as we said, it's mutter. Now, of course, the question is, what is considered for immediate eating? So the Rama says that as long as you go out from shul, so if somebody goes out from shul Shabbos morning to go home, that's already the time of Samach L'Suda. However, the Beis Yosef quotes the opinion of Rabbeinu Yeruchim that even if you did Breira a while before the actual Suda, as long as the Breira was done, this is the next meal you're going to eat. So in other words, if somebody gets up Shabbos morning and they're not going to eat Shabbos Suda for quite a few hours, but that's the next meal they're going to eat, that's enough to be considered le'alter. The Rambam, however, takes a more strict approach, and he says that you have to eat immediately. There are paiskim that differentiate, going back to something that we discussed earlier this year, that if it's oichel mitaych oichel, so as Rashi seemed to point out, it's considered it's less of an act of brayer, so there we don't have to do it so close to the meal. But if it's oichel mitaych psilis, then it's considered, it's more of an act of brayer, as we discussed at the beginning of this year, and then it should be done closer to the time of eating. Ramoshin, the Shalos HaTshuvos, Igros Moshe, Chelek Dalet, Simen Ayin Dalet, Ois Yud Gimel, says that we have to be realistic. And he says that it depends on the situation. So he says if you're going to have many people at your meal, and you're preparing therefore for quite a while before your meal, that's of course considered mutter, even though it isn't right before the meal. If you're not going to have such a large group, then you should do it closer to the meal. The Chazon Ish never was makel less than a half an hour, more than a half an hour before the meal. The Reb Shlomo Zalman was makel for as long as it's doing it for the next meal. The Reb Eliyashiv had a very different approach. His approach was that if you're not going to do anything, if and everything you're doing now till the meal is just preparation for the meal, so that's called Samach L'Suda. But let's say, according to Reb Eliyashiv, you're going to get up in the morning and you want to go to shul. So you're going to do the Breira for the meal, and then you're going to go to shul, and then you'll come home. Since there was something done in between, that's not called Breira. The halacha is, there's some that say that even though we're being machmer in Breira, and the Breira only may be done psoilus mitaych eichel, there are paiskim that want to be lenient. The Birka Yosef says this, that only everything that we speak about in this shir about Breira is only while before the actual eating. But while you're eating, that everything is considered mutter. So that means if you're eating and you take the oichel, you take the psoilus mitaych oichel, that is not considered Breira. That's the way that's considered that you're eating. However, most paiskim don't agree with that distinction. The Chazon Ish was very. The Birka Yosef says this heter. The Bi'ur Halacha mentions it, but the Chazon Ish says that we didn't see anywhere in our Gemara this type of distinction. What Rav Moshe does say in that tshuva that we just quoted, that yes, if you're doing Breira, they're not willing to accept if it's during the meal or before the meal. But let's say you're eating and there's a piece of fish in your mouth. And there's a piece of fish in your mouth and you take the soil and there's a bone in it. And you take the fish, you take the bone out of your mouth. So that's not called Breira. You just want to take this foreign substance out of your mouth and that wouldn't be considered Breira. There is another question. What happens if you find, the Taz discusses this, you find a fly in your cup. You're not allowed to take the fly out. That's called psoilus mitaych oichel. What you should do is take some of the liquid together with the fly, so it will be oichel mitaych oichel. The Shulchan Aruch disagrees. The Shulchan Aruch Rav disagrees. He says that that's also considered Breira, because that oichel that you're taking along with that fly now becomes psoilus. And therefore, he says the only thing you could do is pour out from the cup the fly and liquid until you get rid of the fly. The halacha is that Breira is also, even if you do it with just one hand, not as a question that the Ramah discusses. And that is there an afkamina if the oichel is more than the psoilus, or the psoilus is more than the oichel. Tosfos over here, Divrei HaMaskil Breira v'Oichel, wants to distinguish between if the oichel is merubah al psoilus, when the oichel is merubah al psoilus versus psoilus merubah al oichel. That, and that when the psoilus is merubah al oichel, it could be that it's mutter to take out the psoilus. The Bi'alocha says that the fact that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't mention the opinion of Tosfos means that there's no such nafkamina. And therefore, even in a case when the Oichel is merubah al psoilus, or the psoilus is merubah al Oichel, the Alocha remains the same. That's the Psaka, the Mishnah Berurah. As we said, the halacha of Bayrur not only applies when you have oichel and psoilus, the halacha of Bayrur applies even when you have two types of oichel, and one you want and you don't want the other one. The one you want becomes the oichel, and the one you don't want is the psoilus. Not only, and the Pesukim say that this halacha goes quite far. Let's say you have two types of meat in front of you, or two types of fish in front of you, but you want to eat one type of fish and not the other type of fish. The one you want to eat is the oichel. The one you don't want to eat is psoilus, and all the halachos of Bayrur don't apply. However, when you have two types of fish in front of you, you have two pieces of gefilte fish in front of you. They're both exactly gefilte fish, and you want to choose one of the pieces of fish, not the other piece of fish, that the Pesukim say would not be considered Bayrur. Since they're the exact same thing, that isn't considered Oichel and Psoilus, and it wouldn't be considered a situation of Bayrur. As we also kept on learning, there is one more rule when we speak about Bayrur. There are many more rules, but one more rule we're going to focus on, and that is that you're not allowed to use a Keli to do Bayrur. So Rav Moshe in the Tshuvas Eirachayim Chelik Aleph Simen Kuf Chav Dalet, and so too the Miches Yitzchok in Chelik Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, discuss that if you're doing Bayrur with all of the rules that we learned in our Shir, that you're doing it La'alter and you're doing it Oichel Metoich Psoilus, are you allowed to use a fork or a spoon? That is that considered a Keli? So he says that if you're doing it with a fork or a spoon, because that makes the Bayrur easier, then it's Osir. Because as our Gemara said, and as the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, you're not allowed to do Bayrur you're not allowed to use a Keli if that's going to make it easier for you to do the Breira. But if the Breira is not going to be any easier by using a fork or spoon or using your hand, and the only reason you're using your hand is because you don't want to get your hand dirty, so then the spoon and fork, according to the halacha, become considered extensions of your hand. They're not considered a keli, and you're allowed to use a fork or spoon to do bayrur in the permissible manner, and it wouldn't be considered chilul Shabbos in any way. There's more to say, but there isn't enough time to say it all. Says the Gemara V'atoichen, the next malacha that we discuss is grinding. Amar Rav Papa, says Rav Papa, Hai man the parm silka. When somebody minces beets, Chai mishum toichen. That's like, just like grinding a kernel. So you're taking a kernel, and by grinding it, you're making it into smaller particles. So you take a beet, and you cut it into small pieces, that's considered a malach of toichen. So here too, this is a very important halacha. So does that mean, discuss the Pesukim, that you're not allowed to cut a vegetable salad on Shabbos? Because you're taking a big vegetable and you're cutting it into small vegetables. So Tosfos wants to suggest that the only time there's an issue of cutting a vegetable into small pieces is by a vegetable that you're going to cook afterwards. But if you have a vegetable salad, you have raw vegetables that you're not going to make into a salad, so suggest Tosfos that that's not considered a Maisa Tchina. There are, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions, if that Tosfos' opinion and the other Rishonim's opinion that don't make such a nafkamina, and it seems that the Mishnah Berurah is Machma. The Ramah wants to distinguish between if it's a person that can eat the vegetable whole, he doesn't need to make it into small pieces, versus a person that can eat the vegetable whole, big pieces. So him making it to small pieces isn't that important. The Mishnah Berurah himself doesn't understand the distinction that the Ramah makes. And therefore, the Mishnah Berurah says that that you should try, if you're making a vegetable salad, not to cut it into very small pieces. However, one thing that everybody agrees is that the item that you're grinding into small pieces was already ground once. So let's say you have bread. So bread is made out of flour. And the flour was obviously ground before you made the, as you turned it into flour. And then you made the flour into bread. There's a concept of ein tchina ach tchina, and therefore grinding it, grinding or cutting up a small piece of a piece of bread is not going to be considered teichen. So in other words, grinding something that was already once ground, all the paiskim seem to be lenient. However, chopping up something into very small pieces that were never chopped into small pieces would maybe be considered tchina, even if they could be eaten raw. And therefore, one on Shabbos should try to avoid making a vegetable salad where the pieces are very, very small. Continues the Gemara speaking about the malacha of teichen. Amar Masha, haman de solis silsi. Somebody who chops pieces of wood out of large pieces, chay mishum teichen, that's considered teichen. And Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi adds to that, ikopra mishkasa, and besides that, you're cutting this wood into small pieces, you also want to make each piece a certain size. So by showing that you want each piece to be a certain size, that's already also the malacha of mechatech. Mechatech means that you're cutting it into certain sizes, that's called mechatech. We learned further in the Mishnah that a losh and a oifa are malachas. Amar papa, shavik tana bishul samimonim. Losh, as we mentioned earlier in our shir, kneading and baking are done by samimonim. Dava b'mishkan, that was used in the Mishkan, v'nakat oifa. And we are speaking about baking. Where was baking in the Mishnah? So of course, the Egli Tal asks that there was baking in the Mishkan. They baked the Karban Mincha, they baked the Lechem on the Shulchan, so why is there no Lechem in the Mishkan? So, Degli Tal goes back that this is a proof to Rashi's opinion that Melachas that were done in the preparation of Kabbonis are not considered Melachas. That's how the Egli Tal says. But as we quoted in our previous shiur, Rav Haigoin says that Melachas are not just malachas that were done in the building of the Mishkan, but even in the preparation of Kabbonis are considered malachas. So therefore, there was certainly Losh and Oifa. So how are we going to understand this Gemara? So Rav Haigoin answers that the fear of Lechem Aponim and the fear of Karban Mincha at certain times may be done on Shabbos. So therefore, they can't be considered malachas that are also on Shabbos if they were done on Shabbos for the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the Gemara's question is understandable. Answers the Gemara, Tana Sidur de Pasnaket. Even if we'll say that they were done in the Mishkan, they weren't done in the Mishkan, but when the Tana wants to mention Melachis, it mentions it and how bread is prepared. And as we explained in yesterday's shiur, the reason is because bread is the most staple food item, and that's why the Tana wanted to frame Melachas Shabbos that way. Says the Gemara, Amar Vacha bar Rav Avira, Haiman deshod a siksel asuna. If somebody throws a peg into an oven to harden it, that it takes the peg that has moisture in it, that the heat of the oven will dry it up, chay mishum mevashel. That's considered mevashel. Ask the Gemara, Pshita, what's the difference what I'm cooking? Answers the Gemara, Mada tema l'shurei monaka mechavin, that all he means to say is yes, he wants to strengthen the piece of wood. And as I saw, the Tzofnes Paneach says that maybe the definition of bishul is only when you're making something edible. Here I'm not making something edible, and therefore it shouldn't be included in the category of bishul. Kamash Malon, that's what Rav Acha Bar Avava is teaching us, the Mirfa Rafi, that what happens when you harden a piece of wood is that the moisture that's in the wood gets, so to speak, cooked, and then it gets hardened. And the roughy, it softens the moisture, and then it dries up. And that's considered a Maisa Bishul. Amar Rav Huna, Hayman da Arta Kufra, somebody who liquefies tar, Chay Mishum Avashal. That's Bishul. Ask them, Rapshita. Maratay Mahadavi Kusha, that afterwards it's going to get hard again. Emaloi, it should not be considered Bishul. And with the explanation of the Tzofnas Paneach, it's very Gishmak, because you're not really making something edible with this act, Kamash Malon, that any act of softening something or hardening something is considered a Maisa Bishul. Amarava, Haiman to Ovid Chavita, if somebody makes an earthenware barrel, Chayiv Mishum Sheva Chatoz, there are seven Ovis Melochas involved. The first one is grinding the earth into particles. The next is boirer, where you sort out the pebbles. The next is merakid, that you take the earth through a sieve. Losh, that you mix the earth with water. Memachik, that when you form it, you smear this cement. Mavir, that you put a fire on to when you cook it, to harden it. And mevashel, cooking, says the Gemara further. And if you made a tanura, if you make an oven, there are two more averis involved. There's makve patish, that you did the 4, 8, 7 melachas, and you also make makve patish. So the Rishonim ask a very important kasha. We mentioned in our previous year that there is a melacha makav patish in Shabbos, finishing off making a keli. So why by chavita is there no makav patish? So Rishonim answer that to be chayif a makav patish, you have to do something. If it happens by itself, that isn't called makav patish. So over here, when you smear the cement on this oven to insulate it, that's called makav patish. But when you're not doing an act, it just becomes a keli by itself, that isn't considered makav patish. Says the Gemara further, Omer Abaya, Haiman David Chilka, if somebody makes a large, round receptacle out of reeds, Chayiv Acher Asr Chatoz, he's Chayiv 11 Melochas. First is Noteya and Kaitzer, that if you cut off reeds and you need them, we learned in yesterday's Shia, Yechayiv and Noteya and Kaitzer. There's Ma'amer, where you collect these reeds together. There's Bayer, where you separate out the good kanim from the bad kanim. There's Memachik, where you smooth them out. There's Toichik, where you Toichik, when you take them into small pieces. Mechatech, and since you make them, as we learned earlier in our shiur, into specific size pieces, there's Mechatech. There's Mesech, where you pull them into the special place where they belong. There's Asiyah Shnei Batin Nirim, where you weave them together. And then there's Oirig, as we said in yesterday's shiur, the two parts of doing the weaving process. And there's Makav Patish, that after you finish making this receptacle, you cut off the extra pieces, says the Gemara. And if after you cut off these extra pieces, Chayte Lepume, you bend it over to make like a hem, then you Chayv Shlosh Tasir Chataz. You also Chayv a Teufer, because you're going to sew down that hem, and you also kosher, because after you sew it down, you make a knot that it should stay in place. We learned further in the Mishnah. A goizus a tzemer v'malabnoi or avos melachos, says the Gemara. Amar Rabba v'bachana amar Rabbi Yochanan hatovet tzeva shal gabe behem b'shabbos. If somebody spins wool that's still on the animal on Shabbos, chayiv shalosh chatoz. He's chayiv for 3 melachos. Achs mishum goizus, he's getting the wool off the animal. Achs mishum menapitz, he's disentangling the wool. Achs mishum tova, one for spinning. Rav Kahana amar, no. If you do gezizah that way, ain't derech bezizah bekach, that's not the way you cut wool off an animal. Ain't derech menapitz bekach, ve'ain derech tovi bekach, and it's not chayiv chatas, it's not a malach deraisa. Ask the Gemara, is that true? V'loy, v'tanya mishmeid Reb Nechemya, the pasuk, when it speaks about the women doing the malacha, weaving for the Mishkan, says, tavu esa'izim. And we learn, says Reb Nechemya, shotav be'izim, they washed the hair while the hair was still on the goat's back, the tavu be'izim, and they spun it while it was still on the goat's back. Alma, so we see that tfiyah gabe behemish shmo tfiyah. Answers the Gemara, chachmi yusei rishani. These were particularly very talented women, and that's not the normal way of doing melacha. And as the Rishonim explained, but ledata etzakal adam. Since that's not the way that people usually do melacha, that's not considered the melacha of tviyah or niputz. Tan rabbanan, hatoilish is a kanaf. If somebody plucks a feather off the wing of a bird, v'akaitma, and he clips it, v'amartoi, and he pulls off the hairs, chayiv shalosh chatos. He's chayiv for three chatos. Amar Shem Belakish, toilish chayiv mishum goizes, plucking the feather is the malacha of goizes, kaitim is the malacha of mechatim, and memarit is chayiv mishum emachit. There's an interesting question that the Paiskim discuss. Are you allowed to pull hairs out of the skin? You get a chicken, and there's some hairs left in that chicken. Are you allowed to pluck those hairs out? So the Paiskim seem to be machmer if the bird wasn't cooked, but if the bird was cooked already, so now the skin is not considered skin. The skin is considered food, and you don't have the problem of plucking this isser of martoi, of toilish doesn't apply. We learned in the Mishnah that kosher matara of us. Ask the Gemara kshir v'mishkan hechavoy. Where was the kshir amarava? Kishkein kosher v'yizdus olim. They would tie down the curtains to pegs of the tents. Ask the Gemara who kosher manas lahatahu. When Klai Yisrael in the Midbar, they were always moving. And since they were always moving, that kshir wasn't a permanent kshira. And if it's not a permanent kshira, it's not considered kshira. And since the Gemara, El Amar Abaya, Shekin Arga Yurigais, when they wove the curtains, Hifsakal Nima, if a thread would tear, the way they would repair it is Kosher Masai. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Rava, Turatz the Kosher. You explained where there was Kosher in the Mishnah, in the Mishkan. Mata, Miikala Meimer, where was the Mata? Vechitem de Misramle Tre Chuti, Kitri Bahadi Adodi, that if two threads got tangled together, got knotted together, they would untie it. Shari chad, v'kata had, he would untie and tie them. Says the Gemara, that doesn't make sense that they did that in the Mishkan. Because hashtu l'fnei melech bas v'dom, ein oisakein, l'fnei melech malcha melocha kodesh baruch oisin. That's people who are able to do things in a beautiful manner. If it rips, they just start from scratch. They just don't make a patch or just tie it together. Elam arava, v'teimer rebeloi. The way it was done, she came tzoydin chilozin, they used to capture the chilozin for the tchelis, that fish, and they used to catch it with gnats, and sometimes they make the gnats larger, and sometimes they make it smaller. And that's called kosher, that's kosher materium, that's where you had the malacha. Ask the Gemara, teufel steht firis, somebody who sews two stitches is chai for teufel. Ask the Gemara, but if you only sew two stitches, for like kaima, they won't last. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bavachan, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Vusha Kashram. You're only chayiv if you make a knot at the end. And if you make two stitches and a knot at the end, it will stay. Say the Paiskim, that's only if you made two stitches. But if you make three stitches, even if you don't make the knot at the end, they will stay and you'll be chayiv.